We want the word, right? We all want the word. We want to eat and we want to live. I know that the word is one of the most powerful things. For example, if you say, what's more powerful than word? There's nothing more powerful than word, because with the word, everything was created. Also, we see how the word works into the negative position and also in a positive side. With the word, we can destroy, and with the word, we can build. So I'm happy that I have this gift. I can say a phrase, and this phrase can get around the world in different channels and change somebody's life. I'm sitting at home eating pizza, watching TV with my kids, watching some kind of cartoon. At this time, at some other end of the world, my words are just hitting somebody over there and changing lives. So don't ever lose the opportunity. We don't see how the word works, but this still doesn't lose the power of the word. Same way, we don't see electricity, we don't see the wind, we don't see nothing. We see consequences of all these things. Same thing with the word. Before I begin, the word is the most powerful thing that there is on the planet. The word, with the word, everything was created. The word, like Hitler, Lenin, all these leaders, also leaders of the Christian movements. Again, everything was done by the word. They didn't come out there and show tricks. They didn't do anything with their hands. They weren't creating nothing. They were just speaking. And when you start speaking, something's going to change around you. So I'm telling all you guys not to be silent. Speak up. You got to, if you can't say it, give somebody a CD. Learn how to do it. Do everything possible for the word to be walking. There's power in the word. That's why I like the word. And because my word always calls out a different reaction. But I'll tell you right away that it doesn't happen to where there's no reaction at all. And when the word does not call out any reaction, then you're like not there. Nothing's happening. You're not saying anything, and these words that you're saying, they have no power. That's why today we're going to talk about a sermon that I called Half Alive, Halfway Alive. I got this thought that came into my head. And are you guys not tired of watching people around you who are half alive at home, half alive at work, half alive in sex, half alive in church? Yeah. Especially a woman will say amen. And we're tired of things that are half alive. We hate when something's unfinished, unbuilt, not done. We hate a soup that doesn't have enough salt in it. We don't like to drink something that's not sweet enough. We hate tea that's half hot. Then why is our life a lot of times reminds us of people's life who live halfway, who live half to their potential? And it happens to where you have a huge potential to live. You have huge power. You have something inside you that's hiding inside you. You don't even understand what there is. But we got to understand one thing. We have to pull this out of us at least till the end of our life. Halfway live Christian. Half life encounter or worship group and everything else. And we look at this and you're thinking, why are you even trying if you can't finish something? Why do I need half-life church? Explain to me, for what? I simply started thinking about it. And when God told me, you have to start a church, And I gave God an honest answer. I said, why? Why another church? There's so many of them around. Every day something's happening somewhere. Amen? Every day something's starting, something. Come to our church. No, you guys come to our church. We have 3,500 people and you have 5,000 people. And we don't know what to do anymore. Did God tell you to do this? Or you're just like, it's like in style now or something. In style to open up churches. It doesn't matter how many people you have. The most important thing is that I'm a pastor. All this half-done stuff, I hate it. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the work that you do. Don't do it at all, or do it all the way. Honestly, I'll tell you, we have to learn this lesson for the rest of our life. Half-life, we don't need it. Who needs half-life kids? You don't know whether he's living in. Who wants a service that's halfway life? Who wants a halfway life family? And how many families do we see like that? Thousands of them. You come into the family and you don't know. Are they after a divorce or are they getting ready to divorce? And you're looking at these people, and what's happening? There's no life. There's no stimulation for life. We're not asking, we're not seeking, we're not dreaming, we're not moving. We're just simply existing in this planet. We're just simply existing. People who love halfway. Most interesting for all of us, we have feelings. Feelings of being complete. Amen? We all, even if we live halfway, we feel completeness. You know how many people who are surprised from us. We amaze them. If you don't get it, then you'll get it, right? They're just amazed. Why? Why are they amazed? Because I said, I'm going to live up to my 100%. I'm going to preach to my 100%. I'm going to exist, move, pray, fast, and be in God to a whole 100%. And that's why all these people halfway warm, barely alive, you just like irritate them because you live to your 100%. Amen? You just start to irritate everybody, thinking, why should you scream? Why should you yell just so I can irritate you? Why should you move around so much? Why put so many emotions into it? When I preach, notice one thing. I put all my energy into my words. The word must have power. Power when you, is when you put energy into this word, and this word moves you. Not just, well, today we're here. Well, I was praying, and I received a revelation. And you're looking, what should I do now? Should I fall asleep? Because I'm not going to miss anything. What should I do right now? I don't know. Sleep. Some people say, we sleep in service. I said, God, this is on purpose, so that your mind would not get clouded up with junk. And then when you hear something more powerful, it really hits you. Why? Because I want to preach to my 100%. So when you get out of here, you understand that half-life is bad. Everything. Halfway alive. Learn how to live the way you dream. Oh, I would, or someday. All this, our whole life in little pieces and ends and somebody's living to their full potential. Sometimes I get jealous of the non-believers. Not about their sin, but I'm jealous of the things that they know how to live. They know how to live. I look at him. He's living to his fullest. He allows himself everything. Why? I like exotics. And I had a birthday. I said, maybe I should gift myself something, right? And I always had a dream for many years. I wanted to buy a bald cat. It's an Egyptian cat that costs $1,000. Maybe you can get a better deal for like $800, $600, but they're kind of rare. And I was thinking, cat, why do I need a cat? And I was thinking, well, but I want it. Okay, you would say, maybe spend your money on something good. Buy ice cream, whole fridge full of ice cream for your kids. I said, no, I want a bald cat. A naked cat, it's not a cat, it's some kind of a miracle. People who are in my house, you'd probably laugh pretty good. And I was thinking, I only live once. I will buy a naked cat. I went and put my wife in the car. She said, let's go. She said, we're not going. I said, we're going. Somebody has to hold it when we bring him back, right? Yeah. And she says, you haven't seen him. I said, no, I want a bald cat. I don't care. I put her in the car, started the car, went over there, took the cat. And now I have a naked cat at home. Live to the whole 100%. It's a cat. Tell me what you dream about, what you think about. What's happening in your life right now? Same with the service. You know, while I was watching churches, you probably watched the same, seen the same thing. You're sitting in the rows. And it's like the preacher is preaching again. And you're sitting there. I wouldn't have said this. I would have said this and that. I wouldn't have said this. I would have said about this. I wouldn't have said these things that nobody needs right now and everybody's sleeping. I would have talked about revival. I would have talked about restoration. I would have talked about the power of God. Who lived through this when you're listening to certain preachers? So I was sitting there, and I finally said, I'm going to do everything that I dreamed about doing when I was sitting in the rows. And right now I'm speaking and saying everything to the fullest of what I dreamed about. I'm not going to be sitting there thinking, like some brother halfway, you know, sleeping back there. No. That was just a little revelation about the naked cat. It wasn't on my plans, but it just came to my mind. You had a dream to write verses and poems. Make a book. You dream to write a book? Write a book. Leave something after yourself. I've seen so many destinies that we watch. A person he's kind of living, but he's not. A month goes by and there's nothing to remember. A year goes by and nothing happened in their life. Oh, we received a paycheck and we gave birth to a child. So did we. Oh, we bought a house. But everybody buys a house. Some people sell. And what is it? Is that it? I can look at your life, but years go by, and you have like everything halfway. All your dreams unfinished. Your designs that you started. Notebooks that are started, because we all have something. I guarantee you, every one of you is a unique, powerful personality. You yourself has not opened it up yet and understood who you really are. I'm a shocking personality. I will shock everybody. Shake. You shouldn't say, oh, he's so much pride in him. No, I just started living. I started enjoying my life. I don't care about some grandma Fania says, oh, you're not doing good. I watch it on TV. Don't watch. I'm tired of this. Have you ever seen this kind of baldness to get on my channel and then talk bad about me? I'm in shock. Get off of it then. I don't get it. You can go to Burger King and say, "Ugh, your burgers suck. I want burrito." They say, "Sorry, go over there. Your burritos are over there." We need to understand, this is my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. Oh, yeah, that's how it is. Revelation. Revelation. This is my life. Who is this Aunt Fania? Oh, I was watching, and you guys are irritating me. You know how easy to heal this? Don't watch it. You get it? It's just a revelation. If somebody is getting to you, you just reach off to the remote button and press the off button. We need to understand that it's our style. It's our revelations. And nobody has no right to pull their nose into. Only people come here who receive the same revelation, meet with the same God, wants to see the same fire in their life, and get into the 100% into their destiny. Do you like half done, sitting in a row like a half done pepper, halfway cooked? Oh, you've been there for 40 years. Maybe someday a preacher will come, and I will get delivered. No. You will not get delivered. Not until you finally understand this yourself and start moving. We don't want to see you. Oh, well. Most important is don't lose yourself in the process and what you like. Sometimes we start strong. And then when we get into the sermon, we start listening to other people's opinions. And we let these opinions work on us. And this word works on us. Some people say, "I don't like this haircut. Change it." Somebody told you, "I don't like how you dress," and you change the way you dress. "We don't like that you scream. You should say this quietly." And again, they turned you into the same person you ran from being. Because you stopped being yourself, and now you're a manipulator. You're under control of other people. "I don't want to live like that." You want to be here? You don't have to be here. There's so many churches in America. Oh. There's so many of them. We need to understand that there's places where you can sustain. There's places you won't even be able to even come close to sustain, no matter what you do, no matter how you ask, how you dream, they won't give you anything in life. If we're living, have done life, halfway live, a lot of times it doesn't even depend on us. It depends on people who surround us. How many people say, they come up to me, "You have such a live youth. You have such a nice dancing. We're like a good church too, but we don't have that." I said, "Did your pastor ever give you full freedom to the youth?" "Well, how? He has to watch over everything." "I don't get it. Who's the pastor, him or me?" "I don't get it. Who rules the God's nation? Who's your pastor, me? I don't see you till Sunday or Thursday." They have brotherhood type mafia where everything is watched. They see everything. They spy on everything because he plays the role of God. He said, "I'm going to be God." And he needs all these people who don't do nothing in their life. And all they do is snitch on people. "You're laughing. I grew up in this. You think this is funny?" Yeah, right now it is. Who grew up in this abomination? So we're proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the shepherd of this church. How? Just like that. Jesus should herd his sheep because he works with your heart. I'm just a channel that he speaks through. I'm just that personality that stands here and I can reach a little bit here, a little bit there, but farther on. Everything gets bigger. And why does everything start cracking on the seams? Because the pastor acts like he's the God and he has to know everything. And his head starts to crack. And because he gets to find out about everything. Honestly, I don't want to know everything that happens in this church. Because I won't be able to sleep. I just know what I need to know and what he gives me. Because when he gives it to me, I come up here and I speak, and that's what you need. But God will work with you personally. I just gifted all of you guys to Jesus Christ. They said, how do you sleep? You have some problems? No, I have no problems. I sit with my kids and watch cartoons with my naked cat, and everything is fine. And then I say, Lord, what should I say to your sheep? And he tells me, here, this is what you got to say to him. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Who needs help? I'll pray for you. Everything else? Sorry. I don't want to know what you're doing. Maybe one day you have one thing, next day you have another thing, and then the third day you became an evangelist. How can I sustain if I have to keep track of every single thing you do? Brat Mikhail, Sestra, whatever her name is, and we're not going to let them live to the rest of their life because they did something. Oh, God. I'm so happy that I'm not halfway alive. I just want to tell you to bring life into your life. If you want to say it like this, then say it like that. If you want to sing like that, then sing that way. Do you want to say this kind of poem? Then do it this way. If you don't like this book, take it, use up half a year and write your own book. Who, me? Yeah, you. I will help you. I'll tell you a few things. Do something in your life. Oh, you see, God called you. He called me the way He called you. Just one day, I understood. If I don't grab my life, then nobody else will. You're in your own hands. Why hundreds of thousands of people pray, saying, I'm in your hands and dying out in the rows? They're in God's hands. Why? What, does God have a big line until you get up there? No. You have a dream, start acting on it. God loves faith. I've seen crippled and handicapped who live to the fullest. Who've seen those kind of people? I've seen chronicles of one woman who doesn't have any arms. She was born that way. And with her feet, she does more than you can do with your hands and your feet. She gives birth to kids. She changes them, feeds them, cleans the house, makes food, goes to work, and types on a computer. I've seen this. I was just in shock. Some people were saying, oh, interesting. I was sitting there. I was in shock. I was saying, look at this woman who has her own TV channel, wrote her own books, has everything in order in her house, her husband's in order, her kids are in order, and she doesn't even have hands. You have everything, and you're sitting here, saying, I don't know what to do. Do something with your life. You have hands and arms, and we're looking at these people. Oh, we just feel sorry for them. You know who I feel sorry for? I feel sorry for those people who have hands and feet and they don't do nothing. If this woman reached her full potential, others, some people lose their arms and commit suicide. I've seen these chronicles too. When they cut off some of their parts, they come home and just commit suicide because they don't want to live. They think their life is all about their hands. We all are handicapped in one place or another. Some people in a sphere of family or in finances, there's a handicap. Somebody is a crippled in a physical. We can all complain about something and say, oh, this is, they don't understand us. Who needs us? A lot of times the problem is who is surrounded, who you're surrounded by. Every one of us has people, everybody has people who do not want you to sustain. Everybody has people who will not allow you to reach your full potential. Everyone has people. They're always going to give you an advice on time. You might think that there's so many people that give you advice who never reached anything in their life. And one time I just stopped taking advice. What kind of mistake did you... Yeah, right. I thought I made a mistake. Me and my wife, we cut off everybody. We said, either dream or I don't want to live without this dream. I don't want to live in this planet. Either we're going to live to the fullest in what we dream about. If I can't preach the way I want to preach, then why do you even get up there? If you can't speak what you want to say, get away from the stage and start doing what God called you to do. Yeah, that's how it's done. Read the Bible. That's how. I don't see anything fake. Take any story. It's. We'll read about Daniel, about one situation. They told him, you should not worship God. At least close your window. No. Oh, no, he's bald. That's how he got himself into the lion's den. There's a joke. Those people that put him in there, they found it themselves. Pharaoh did not want to let Israel go for one reason, because they were living. Amen. They kind of lived. It wasn't life. It was like illusion. Israel could not live to the fullest. They couldn't have kids the way they want to have and how many they wanted to have. They couldn't do anything in their life. They just gave them a little sphere of existence. They just gave them a little place to live and say, live. And when they wanted to be lived to the way they wanted to live, somebody didn't like that. In order to fight for the Israel nation, that they had to fight down in the blood. Did you see how much Moses had to work with the Pharaoh to let him go? And even after that, they still chased him. And then you think that it's just easy. You listen to a sermon and tomorrow you'll get into your potential. No. At first, a dream comes and ideas. At first, you understand that you have to be in the right kind of surroundings, people who surround you, when you start doing some, because it's hard to be alone in the field. But the dream that was in us just over exalted the obstacles and everything else. One time, a guy in his yard, he grew up with his guys, his friends, and one moment he came to his friends. He said, I want to become a doctor, finish the institute. They started laughing at him. they were just laughing their heads off. He switched friends, but not his dream. I like those kind of people. Come to church, he say, I want it to be like this. I want it to be like that. Some people start laughing at it. Then change your church. If you can't open up your own, if you can't change your own, switch churches. God will show you where you're supposed to be. Start praying. He'll show you a state and city you're supposed to live in. Who had the type of feeling where you can't take a full breath? You want to take a full breath. You want to breathe in, but you can't. You know the feeling, right? And you don't know what to do. And you run around the house. You can breathe, but you can't breathe in all the way. Your full lungs. And you can't do it. I had that same thing happen to me in the spiritual world. Anywhere I go, I can't breathe. My spirit cannot breathe. And I'm saying, Lord, how long? Why are we so ignorant? We're going to look at the Bible and read it and say, the disciples had this. Oh, this was a long time ago. Why do we need that type of church at all? That's helpless. Who needs a helpless pastor, helpless church, helpless family? Who needs a helpless sermon in life? Who needs that? I don't need it. I'm saying, Lord, I want to be able to sustain. Lord, God said, it's gonna be hard. But I said, even though it's going to be hard, but every time I go to bed, I know I have thousands of enemies and even more friends. And I know that I'm alive because somebody loves me and somebody hates me. I'm alive. But me, I don't know what's happening in my life. I don't know whether they love me or not. Well, tell them where you go. You'll have interesting people surrounding you. A lot of people dream about being here. I know tons of people who call me and send me emails. They dream. They've been praying to hear and see this. For somebody to just come out and say everything. You guys all can do this. This is not a revelation. It's truth. How can he say this? Yes, I can. I'm going to keep speaking until something changes. There's a new rumor going on. They told me yesterday. They said, Shapovalov, his mission is to destroy all the churches. They're giving me a new revelation every day. I said, cool. We're going to pray about that. I'll put this into our prayer list. Nobody's destroying anything. Because everything that has no power or fire, it's going to die out. How can we live in the most progressive country and in the most religious society? I don't know. We have to learn how to tell truth. You know, in order to tell the truth, is going to cost you a lot. I know how much it costs me to say truth. I know how much I lose, and I know how much I get, how much I gain. Yeah, I have my own style of speaking the truth. Some people like it, some people don't. I can't do anything with myself. I am the way I am. I'm not going to waste my time. And we live, and somebody's controlling our life. And of course, when you start doing something, somebody's going to come up to you and say, do you understand? In my walk with God at the beginning, they told me, a deacon comes to me. We've been into a revival before. I know what the movement of the Holy Spirit is. I know what it is to see healings and baptism with the Holy Spirit. I know what it's like to see deliverance from evil spirits, but I pray you for your life not to become the way it became to me. People are going to go against you. Demons are going to go against you. People go against you, and they will destroy you. And this deacon came to me that knows all this, and he says, I'm simply asking you right now just to stop. I'm sitting there saying, I'm saying, I didn't have enough boldness to say to his face, but time is changing. I was 18 years old. It was like 14 years ago. I didn't have the type of boldness to say this to his eyes. I listened to him inside me. I was thinking, look at the devil. He's trying to buy people. How can you exchange life for this, telling me to stop? I'd rather live a short life, but a powerful life, than a long, pointless life. And you don't know what to remember from your life. Do you want to know how a person lives? Look at his photo album. I like people when I come to their house to visit. They give you all their photo albums. And they say, I have a couple of them. I said, what do you mean? Well, I have one before I was reborn again and one after I was reborn again. Which one do you want to see? I said, both. I say both. The one before, I definitely want to see that one. I look at people who are full of life. People full of happiness with a cigarette, with a can of beer on a motorcycle. He's happy to the end. And I look at the new album. He died. That's it. I understand. Some people say, that's it. Shapovalov. Now we're buying beers and cigarettes and getting on a motorcycle. No, I'm saying that before he lived bad in the sin, but he lived. He was happy, you know, with, I don't even want to remember what I see in his albums, but they trusted me, you know, that I'm not going to judge him. And then I look, the new life. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and you're looking. Person disappeared. He came to church. And now this personality is gone. And he's saying, I'm so happy to be in God. You're lying. No, you're not happy to be in God. You're a liar. I've seen where you were happy. I can tell by the pictures. God, He wants you to be happy. Here He lived to the fullest. Here He's not even pulling 30%. And you know in this person, you know his personality, how open he used to be, how strong he was with potential and happy back then. And there's always people around him. People always loved him. Yeah, he had bad people around him, but he lived. And now you look at the life after reborn again, and you're thinking, what happened to this guy? God said, it's better for you to either be warm, hot or cold. Original says, since if you're warm, I'm just going to spit you out. That's what the original translation says. God hates. And what we see around us is everything warm, not having life. That's so God can become better friends with cold people than warm people in church. I really like Paul. Paul, who was persecuting the church, when he repented, he did not become halfway. He started doing the same thing, only against those who he used to work for. And I really like a lot of you that came out of there, amen? And they start working. They start being the same. He used to always get people high and everything. Now he's pulling everybody to the church, to cell groups, to celebrations. He started working, started praying for him. A person did not die, a person is alive. I'll come to church, I'll see what else the pastor is going to say. I don't even know what to say anymore. I just want to tell you to start living. Become alive in church. And when I was in the world, when I came to church, same thing happened to me. I see this in Paul. Yeah, you could still see the streets in me, but but I want to lose this. Because this is me. This is who I am. If I lose this, I'm just going to sell myself. And a lot of us simply sell out. Your happiness, your life, it should stay in you. Sin must leave you. Everything else, like in Paul, you should still have the same fire, same thirst. He was persecuting Christians. Now he's persecuting non-Christians to tell them about Christ. Nothing changed in Paul when he fell off his horse, except that he accepted Jesus Christ into his life. Nothing else changed. He even changed his name from Saul to Paul, because he became a totally different personality. Now he started working for Christ. He even took a new name. And we're talking about encounters, how God will rename you. Only God can do that. Remember, you can rename yourself all you want, but God, for some reason, renamed his disciples. He says, you're Simon Peter, and he sees your heart is changed. You're a different personality. And most important is not to lose yourself when you come to God. Amen? Don't lose your potential. You like rock, then play rock for Jesus Christ. If you like, if you like to be at discos, half drunk in the club, then dance for Jesus Christ. Make your own dance team. Worship God with this. Can you do it? Of course you need it. What am I going to do in church now? He comes. There's only three services. What are you going to tell poems, preach, and sing? I can't do nothing else. Learn how to write poems. And what, is this it? Church has to take over everyone and everywhere. We're going to be doing what nobody's ever done before in their life. We're going to be walking where nobody's ever walked into. We're going to be dreaming and doing and reaching those things that nobody even thought of thinking to have having in church, because church is a place where everyone can be sustained, amen, can be fulfilled. That's my dream. It's not my fault God gave me the word. If God gave me the gift to dance, I would be dancing so hard you guys would be laughing. I would have pulled everything out in this dance. Find something you can do to your fullest. Do you need it? Yes, you need it. Do something. Think of something. We'll give you room. We'll make it to where we can see your open potential. Some people might say, nobody does what I do. But you can be the first one to start. There is no limits. I've seen people who used to be a gang, who used to ride Harleys. Now they're angels for Christ. Same Harleys, and they're driving around giving Bibles, talking about Christ. God does not want to take away your motorcycle from you. He just wants you to leave your dumb, maybe non-dedicated mind, to clean out your unchristian minds, your sin, but to leave you the same way. I don't like him. He's all in tattoos. What's going to happen if some big guy comes here who can't fit into the door, bald and wall and tattoos everywhere, and he's going to be worshiping Jesus Christ? What are you going to do then? Yeah, there's going to be those kind of people that's going to appear. Yeah. I'm accepting everybody. Punks, all kinds of, people with... I love everybody. That's a soul, and it needs Christ. Religion cannot accept this kind. For these kind of people, there's no place in church. In our churches, there is no place for the world. I don't get it. This is the truth. Say amen. Oh, I'm at home. Okay. In our churches, there is no place for the world. We must understand that church is the place where all the junk must come. And you must clean it and bring them into Christ. Pull your sleeves back and say, I don't care whether you stink or whether you crawled here. You have tattoos or you have a you have some kind of a weird hairstyle. I don't care. Christ needs him. That means he needs, I need him. There's going to be a place for him in my church. We're going to have a cell group of people with a rooster type hairstyles, and they're going to worship Christ. We're going to say amen. God bless you. What, you know why I need him? Why I need them? Because they're going to bring the same type of people. We must understand. In order to touch every sphere, we must touch all the spheres of existence of people where they exist. And when a church is only interested in one group of people who look the same, walk the same, sing the same, they buy stuff from the same store. Of course, we can't reach much. Of course, we're going to lose our youth. Of course, we lost our generation. Church must be wise. Wise like the sniper or snake. But to be plain like the dove. I'm telling you wisdom. Because we must get wisdom. I'm not... That's a joke, but I'm just telling you, please, start living to your fullest. I dream to see people who are sustained in their potential, who came here and said, Pastor, I have this. A lot of times they tell me such things that my non-religious mind starts to be like, whoa. I said, well, wait, but when, how many youth that confess to me, as soon as youth comes, they say, Pastor, or Deacon, or Brother, we want to organize a little dance group. We want to dance on youth. What? Dancing is from the devil. Who heard this before? Raise your hand. And that's it. Oh, from the devil? Okay. Then we'll go and serve the devil. And then you see this whole team, they're serving the devil. They came to youth and they say, Pastor, we want to do a youth concert. We want to put lights and have a concert and just jump for Christ. So, okay, do it. And then you see there's spies in the concert. They recorded everything on the video. They dialed the number. They said, look where your kids are. Look what row they're in. And then it gets to the pastor. And then pastor closes it down. And that's it. And then what should the youth do? They came to us. Because it's okay to dance for Christ here. And we must dance for Christ because we must save everyone. I noticed one thing that stimulates us to life is to be close to death. Oh, we became alive. So many people I've seen who became alive when he's laying in the hospital, a couple stitches. Doctor's telling them, doctor told him, he said, that's it, Lord. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to start to live. What did you do before this? And you're watching these people, and it doesn't last long. Yeah, a couple testimonies, you know, your stitches heal, and everything goes back to non-existence. But I've noticed what stimulates us to life. I don't want you to get to that point in your life. I'll tell you how to stimulate your life and your destiny. You know why David can live to his fullest, why Joseph learned how to live to his fullest, Daniel, why they knew how to live to their fullest? Because their life was always near death. I know what it's like to be close to death. I've seen how I was dying when I was 7 years old, when I got hit by 220, and it hit me for a while. And I was dying when I fell. I felt that I felt cold from my waist down. People who are close to death, you know this moment when you know that this is it, your life is over with. There's no questions. This all happens in a split second in your head. I know this in my childhood. I lived through it. And back then, I understood that devil hates me for some reason. For some reason, some people say, how'd you come to this calling? Satan himself pushed me here. Because attacking me and haunting me, he's always haunting me to be in the presence of God. Because when I'm almost died here and something happened here, I always ran to God. And then I understood who I was. So devil helped me to sustain. It sounds funny, but that's how it is. He simply chased me around and chased me to the right place. I gave my life to God, and everything else you know. And you know there's a question. How to become alive? How do you do something? Again and again, I'm going to keep repeating to be honest, step of faith. One time I watched a channel about people who were jumping on motorcycles, and the people are doing crazy stuff, and they always tell him, do you want to die? He said, no, I don't want to die. But in this moment of a jump, I feel the fullness of my whole life. I don't know, this guy standing there with a parachute who's jumping off of from a skyscraper, and he's giving a short interview. He said, in this moment, I understand that I'm alive. It's hard for me to explain to you guys because he's saying to this video camera, he said, you don't know what it's like to live. Again, he jumps off with his parachute. And some people say, you can die jumping off of this. He says, I don't care, but I can't live like this no more. I watched one known person who was doing real challenging things, and they asked him, how did you get to this? He says, in one moment when I was 40 years old, I was sitting by a couch. I was really big. Big and fat. I was sitting in a huge chair, armchair, with a remote in my hand, and I would eat chips. And I was watching these channels, and I was just laughing at these people. Until I finally heard one phrase of one person. This person was just talking about what I'm talking about. He said, you, those who watch, you'll never understand us. Because we live for this. Yeah, they don't live right to jump off motorcycles, but I feel life. When I do take some huge risk in my life, I become alive. And in this moment, I dropped my chips, dropped the remote. I went and got skinny. I had a dream to start this stuff and jump off parachutes and stuff. And he said, I did this. And I started living. Now I know I'll never go back to the old life where I was living. I understood what it's like to live. Let me at least live for 2 years, but like this, then my whole life, the way I used to live. It goes, this connects real seriously to our Christianity. We just sit there and exist. We simply exist. It all depends on you. You come to church. You receive the word. What's going to start in your life from Monday? What's going to be happening in your life to where people look at you and they'll say, wow. What's going to happen in your life? Can you call out somebody's reaction with your destiny, with your life? Can you become so alive that you'll put life into other people with your life? Can you turn so much on fire to where other people look at you and say, I want to live like that too. I want to live like that. I want to exist like that. I want to tell you this. I don't want you. I want you to stop living halfway. That religion created. Maybe a lot of you sitting here watching me, listening to me. Back when you were in the world, you were full of energy, full of huge dreams and dreams to reach huge things in your life. What killed you? You could say, when I came to church, I say, no. Religion stopped you, not God. God did not stop you. God does not stop your from reaching your goals. Some people say, how can you, like rock stars, they're not from God. How can a Christian be a rock star? Real simple. In one concert, in one album, he reaches more souls than an evangelist in his whole life. You hear me? That's why God wants to have His own people in those spheres. That's why God wants to see, have His own people in all spheres. If he's a guy who's a cosmonaut, goes into space, then I don't care. I feel alive up here. For me, every sermon, every time I get up here, every sermon that I speak, it's like a jump off of a parachute. I can't wait till I jump again. I not only get fulfilled with the whole process, but I'm fulfilled with what this word does when I'm done speaking it. I enjoy when this CD or this word gets somewhere to some town and there's a revival over there. I'm just amazed from these things, how God can use this. I'm just fulfilled doing this. Tell me, what in your life we had a sermon about? You can listen to it, how to reach your dreams, how to get into your full potential. And what do you do in life right now that brings you huge fulfillment? I mean, like, when I'm up here on stage, this is like, I could probably compare this maybe to sex with wife. Tell me, it's really good, huh? I don't get what about religious church. Sex is good, guys. What's happening? It's like I'm not at home. It's what God created. I'm not saying anything. Everything is natural. Sex is cool. It's pleasant. It's something you always think about. Almost. Sometimes you get distracted. But I just want to compare this thing. I receive practically the same thing, only in a different way. But I'm talking about fulfillment. Where you want to finish. Why are you smiling? Everything's fine. And you want to continue and continue. And you want to preach on. But if you have religion in your mind, then you're going to start, you know, it's going to start bothering you. That's a good indicator. Come and we'll pray for you. You'll start liking sex too. Let's read this place. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. verse 17. How to become alive. Have you took risk in your life? Do you want to take risk into your life? You might say, this is dangerous. I might fail. Of course, everyone who risks can either be sustained or he can fail. But when I'm with God, that I know, after all my failures, I can be sustained. I know that after all my half-finished life, I'd rather say one sermon. Give me one sermon, and I will change everything around. Because I will say it to the fullest. I'll pull everything out that I have. I'll pull it out like it's my last sermon. Why? Because in this I get fulfillment. What brings you fulfillment? What brings you huge fulfillment? Think about it. Can you do this for God? Don't be afraid to take risk. I'm going to finish with this spot. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Let's read this together. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You know this little verse that says that the righteous will live by faith. We read this, but we don't understand it. You know that we become alive only when we live in faith. What is faith? Faith is taking risk, crazy, supernatural risk. When I start doing something in my life that somebody else does not fit into his head, but for me, it's a fulfillment, and in this, I feel fulfillment. You want to do something? Just think about it. I dream about in this church so that most of you would become sustained and come into your calling. I'm not just sitting here sweating and screaming. I want you to understand that to live to the fullest is what God created you for. Do you know how sad it is when He gave you everything, all the potential, your whole life, and you just locked it with a key? Somebody gifted you a car, the most wonderful car, last model of Mercedes, BMW, or whatever else, maybe even better, something like a Bentley. And you say, what a nice car. And you put it in the garage and lock it. And sometimes just get in it to listen to the radio. I know that with us Russians, it doesn't happen like that. This Bentley is going to be seen by everybody. You're going to be visiting all the churches with that thing. All the churches giving people rides. Why? You're going to use this car to the fullest. Same way with God gifted you life. You must realize it to the fullest. The righteous lives by faith. To live to the fullest, you can only live by faith. Only by taking risks. If you never in your life took risks, you will never. Listen to me. You never lived. You might say, I don't understand you. Yeah, you'll understand me. When you jump off and you take this step off this cliff with a parachute, that's when you'll understand what it's like to live and what it's like to dream and to land right. Amen? Let's stand.